You are tuning in to the Atlanta Realtors Rundown, the official podcast for the Atlanta Realtors. We're here to keep you updated with the latest trends, topics, and keep you in the know of our ever-changing Atlanta market. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Realtors Rundown. I am here today with a special guest, Wesley Knapp. I'm thrilled that he came in here. I think you guys are going to learn a ton from him. He's a big deal, and at least in my world and a lot of other people's. I want to start this episode, Wesley, by having you just kind of introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you come from, what you do, where we might see you around town.
Well, thanks, appreciate it. Glad to be here with you and glad to be here representing the Atlanta Realtor Association. Of course, my name's Wesley Knapp. I've been in real estate for over 20 years. Started back in the day when I was an engineer coming out of Georgia Tech, and not exactly a normal path, but I don't think anybody has a normal path. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm different or the same or whatever. But at the end of the day, I started off at Georgia Tech and was an engineer and was working in corporate America, and kind of realized that I finally figured out one day that I was more of an entrepreneur. I didn't know it at first, it took an opportunity to have literally, I got a promotion and a pay decrease one year. Ooh. And that was an opportunity, and it felt like I was walking into a wall. But I wasn't. Like most things in life, one door closed and a better door opened. And I started working nights and weekends as a real estate agent. Got my license online in a hotel room. and then shortly thereafter started a real estate brokerage called Keller Knapp. Over 20 years took that and I have three or four jobs. The first one being I still sell. Because I enjoy it. I enjoy my clients. I enjoy the people that I'm around. I am a broker and owner of Keller Knapp, which has about 175 agents right now and four locations around town. If you ever see the yellow and black signs, it's me. And then the third one is I invest. I think that it's good for real estate agents to kind of put their money where their mouth is. And in that investing, then there's a whole things that I've been involved in investing. But at the very, the areas that I sell, it was like a real-time information from people to say, hey, these are places that we want to buy that was easy to invest in.
Awesome. And you're also a dad.
I am a dad of two boys, Bennett and Oliver. They're 16 and 14, and they're a lot of fun right now. They both play football and lacrosse and wrestling, and they're at Decatur High School, and I really enjoy it.
So a fourth job.
Yeah, exactly. Well put.
Yeah. Well, you're a guy that I think a lot of people know whether you know them or not. And you have quite a reputation, which I have only heard wonderful things about you. And before I got to meet you through our friend Sean Graham, I had only heard wonderful things. And since knowing you, I can attest.
Oh,
great guy.
Thank you.
So I'm thrilled to have you here. And I think that anyone listening will benefit from hearing what you have to say. You mentioned that you went to Tech, so I will go ahead and give a little shout out that I'm thrilled to have somebody at this table that is not a Bulldog. So thank you. I'm tired of the Bulldogs. Go Vols. And you came out of Tech and you did go get your traditional job and realized that maybe that wasn't the space for you. And you mentioned that you started doing real estate in the evenings and on the weekends. At what point did you say, all right, enough with the actual job. I think I can do this. I'm not bad at it, or I enjoy it. Like, what prompted you to ditch the engineering job?
Well, I mean, it's hard. I do feel for people. At Keller Knapp, we do take people that are part-time because I start off part-time. I know a lot of brokerages, don't have the resources to do that for various reasons. But it was hard to make that transition. Like, what's enough savings? I didn't realize that I was an entrepreneur. I didn't come from an entrepreneurial family. It's not like somebody said, hey, at this point in time, I didn't have a huge trust fund to back me up to say, hey, just in case you fail. Mm-hmm. I do think that fear of failure is certainly the ultimate motivator. I was lucky enough to do it before I had a family, so that made it a little bit easier. On the flip side of that, I do think that it's an individual decision as to when you're ready to go full time, and you have to look at yourself and honestly and how much you have saved. But for me, I tell you, I probably waited too long.
Interesting.
In hindsight, I probably should have done it 6 months to a year ahead of time. And the minute I did do it full time, I really took off. So I was actually holding myself back. With my own fear, and in that, do I regret that? I don't know, but But that's the path that I took. On the flip side of that, I do also think that, I do think that having a team of people that you talk to, I think I didn't do a good enough job of that during that period of time. I didn't know that I needed mentors and having, people that I talked to help me through that process.
Sure.
I think I felt like I had to do it on my own. So I think if I were to recommend to anybody in that situation would be to talk, come up with 2 to 5 people who you bounce these ideas off of and make that kind of your board.
Sure. So in retrospect, you felt like you were just kind of feeling around in the dark and found the light switch, but you wish you had found it a little earlier.
100%.
So when you did find the light switch and you did, exit the corporate America, your broker at the time, maybe, I'm not sure who it was, you don't need to mention it, but did you feel that they were helpful? You just emphasized the importance of relationships and mentors, but did you feel, what led you to brokerage?
That's a good question. I'm Christian, so I think God somewhat helped me in that process, and then just a door opened. But what I found in my life was that, it is enjoyable to succeed yourself. It's really enjoyable though to watch other people succeed, and I didn't know that I was an entrepreneur. I didn't know that I wanted to see other people succeed. It's just as I went down that path, the more I did it, the more I enjoyed it. And as a door opened, I didn't just see the door. I walked through it, and I walked through it hard every time.
Right.
And each time the door opened, did I think that I'd have 175-person brokerage? No. What I did was I saw, hey, listen, some people need some help here. Let me help them. And then I made a relationship with those people. And then those people said, hey, I've got friends, and they wanted some help. And that helped, that goes with my sales business. This goes with the brokerage business. But at the end of the day, yes, we sell real estate, but we are in the people business. And the greatest thing you can do is to help all the people around you. And, if you think that, if your goal in life is just to be successful, that's pretty easy. If your goal in life is to lift up a lot of people around you, then that's really, really gratifying. And, I haven't hit my goal in my life because I haven't lifted up enough people in my life, and I'll continue doing it until the day I die.
Sure. So it wasn't because you didn't go into brokerage and being a broker and opening an office because you had some kind of a sore experience or anything like that. It was just kind of naturally.
It was truly evolved. Natural.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty type A. Type triple A. But Kellen App really was an organic business. In fact, I even joke with myself about it as if I was more type A about it. But it's one of those things that kind of just keeps growing organically. With good people and good processes, and it's amazing all the people we've been able to help through that, and create careers for people. And I'm very fortunate to essentially lead it. But if you saw our staff at Keller Knapp, I think they might be leading me most of the time, so they're pretty awesome.
Awesome. So you also have some natural leadership skills, whether you're going to sit there and say it or not, I will. And so people tend to follow someone like you who has that type of in my opinion, genuine, intent. So you get into real estate, you stop your corporate job, you are selling full time, and you open up this brokerage. Tell me where you start picking up on this investment stuff.
Good question. I was living in town, and I was watching other people invest, and I do think that the cool quality, if in your business as a real estate agent. You take on investors, you have the opportunity to make a commission and watching them do it. Mm-hmm. So it's the greatest opportunity to, you're helping somebody, you're making a commission, and you're watching what they do real time. So it's like getting paid to go to school. On the flip side of that, and you get to learn what they like and what they don't like and listen to them and see how they think. And so, in doing that, watching other people think through it and helping them through that. And I love, I'm an engineer. I like math. It's usually math based. So that, I get to geek out in that moment. But on the flip side of that, and then I was able to start investing in, from an investment standpoint in commercial properties through a mentor, apartments through another mentor. And I've done a lot of land work, and entitlements and things like that. We early on it was, flipping houses and building some new construction houses and learn how to deal with banks and all that stuff. Some of it is, the The joke is, it's really, I just do it because I'm ADD. The reality of it is, it's also intellectually interesting. It's like a puzzle. How can I make money off this? And then, you look back on it, and, I'm driven with you in the car, and you're like, hey, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and you really do. I mean, part of it is the puzzle, part of it is making money, and then part of it's helping your community and seeing it flourish and prosper, and in all those things. What a cool thing that you can do is you can invest, potentially make money, take on risk, solve your intellectual curiosity, and help your community at the same time. That's pretty cool. And then, gosh, oh, by the way, I'm a broker, and I get to deal with people like yourself who have intellectual curiosity as well, and teach other people how to do that. That's pretty cool. I think I kind of live my dream.
Nice. It sounds like the gateway to pretty much everything that you've done is people.
100%. If you... if you ever played a team sport in your life, that you're not going to ever, my kids play football and my son plays center. The quarterback doesn't do anything phenomenal unless he gets the ball from the center. And I talk to him about this all the time, that ultimately, sometimes I'm the quarterback, sometimes I'm the center, sometimes I'm the running back, sometimes I'm the referee, sometimes I'm the coach. But every part of this is a team sport. And if you... think that you're going to do anything on your own in your life, you're mistaken. Mm. You need people. And people, I think we learned during COVID, first and foremost, that people are what motivate us. People are, what was the thing I saw the other day about Steve Nash, the basketball player, that he, one of his motivations was that he physically touched people 239 times on average per game.
Wow.
High fives. 239 times. You want to know why he's successful? Because he realized that he could motivate people by touch, and he executed it better than anybody else. And he's like an outlier. Just a true outlier. 100 times more per NBA game. When you realize that you need people and you make people the focus of your life, then all of a sudden, then it's not about the money. It's not about the situation. It's about helping people along the way. And once you do that, quite honestly, your life just gets better.
I 100% agree with that. And I think that people, who aren't taking advantage, and I don't mean take advantage of people, but taking advantage of the relationships around them and learning from people, like you mentioned, pretty much every avenue you started going down, you were learning from somebody, is a huge missed opportunity.
Well, and then it's my obligation now that I need to extend the same grace that people extended me. Mm-hmm. How lucky was I that other people took that opportunity to join me and teach me things? I need to do it 100 times.
Right. So all these people have poured into you, and now you're ready to pour into the next person.
Amen.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. So you have all these things going on. You've kind of, dipped your toe into the commercial stuff or the investment arena. At what pace or at what point in your career do you feel like you just said earlier in the beginning of our conversation that you haven't reached your goal, but at what point did you feel like, okay, I'm actually good at this, or I might be okay at this, or this is something that is working really well for me? Where were you in the stage of this past 20 years of real estate where you woke up one day or had that aha moment?
Well, I do think success breeds success by default. That if you get successful in anything, and success is whatever you want to make of it. You're a successful mom. I'm sure you're more confident about being a mom after having success as being a mom, and you should be proud of that. In that regard, you sell a house and then you say, oh, I can do it again. Do I ever think that I'm successful? No, I don't. I think that I think that life is a journey, and you kind of have to constantly learn. And at the point in time, and I'm not sure I'm answering your question exactly, but at the point in time where you stop learning, you stop growing. And we all have that friend who's like, oh, I knew I've got everything I need in life, and you see them stop growing, and then they usually start retreating. So mm-hmm. I think, in mind, it's a constant intellectual curiosity. So I don't think I've reached that pinnacle or anything like that in my life. I think I'm still playing the game.
I hear you. You didn't exactly answer my question. I more so would want to know I've been doing this 14 years, which is a decent amount of time for my age because I started really young.
Absolutely.
And I talk to a lot of people who are just now getting into real estate or have been in a few years, and they're like, when am I going to feel like I'm good at this? And I look at them and think, you are. You're doing great. Well, this is wonderful. But I'm curious for someone like you and I try to think back on my own journey and think like, when was the point where I was like, all right, I'm pretty good at this and I'm going to stick with it and I know it's going to work for me.
Well, two sides of that. First one is imposter syndrome with social media has never been bigger than now. So I do think that, if you just in general, I worry for my agents. I worry for people around me all the time because, I'll look up and you'll see them on Facebook and you think they sell 40 houses a year and they sell three. And somehow they've created this image of themselves of success of things like that. And then therefore, then you who's starting off or 5 years in or 10 years in says, why am I not as good? And it's real. So I do think, it's almost better to not be on social media sometimes because imposter syndrome's real.
Agreed. First.
Second of all, as far as success, I do think that even within yourself, I remember one of our agents at one point in time did not sell anything the first 2 months of a year. And he, was concerned because he'd had a great year the prior year. He sold $40 million the next 10 months. My point is that the hardest thing about our business is it's not linear. You're not getting a certain wage per month. And you don't know. And I've had other people who aren't having success and they need to make some tweaks to it. But I do think that to have success in your business plan and have a defined business plan of how you're going to get your clients and how you're going to go through this and tweak it along the way if needed, but know your successful business plan. I mean, have confidence in that.
Sure.
Because you can always resort back to that. Hey, listen, I get my clients from these online things. Hey, I get my clients from going to parties. Hey, I get my clients from my friends. Hey, I work my friends and family. Hey, I work my database. Hey, I do, because you can always go back to that. Because what happens a lot of times is people get that imposter syndrome. They say, oh my gosh, so-and-so has a new website or there's some new technology and it's the new, whatever it is, the shiny object out there that says, it was the e-buyer. It's the whatever it is, the shiny object. And there's a shiny object every year to 2 years.
Yes.
Guaranteed. And that will create imposter syndrome as well. Maybe even worse than social media. And at that moment, you're going to say, man, I should be doing this. I'd be more successful. And maybe that's true, but usually that's a whole business. Mm-hmm. Like gosh, what's the one a couple of years ago, which was maybe I need to recruit people and work for a broker and just recruit people, and you didn't realize that is a business in and of itself. Like if you want that to be your business, but if your business is selling real estate or if your business is having a team or whatever your business is, have that business plan, define the business plan, and execute on it. And try to stay away from all the other imposter syndrome things at the time. And then if your business isn't working well, then go back to your business plan and say, am I executing on this? Mm-hmm. And now if things change, whatever used to work doesn't work anymore, that's a thing. But usually, almost every time that I sit down with an agent who's having an off year or an off situation, usually we go back to their business plan and, oh goodness, guess what? They're not executing on that well. And if they go back to execute on it, their business starts to go back in the positive.
Yeah, so. It's like stick with the basics, right?
It's block and tackle. Block and tackle wins a lot of football games.
I always say, put your blinders on and stay the course. Like
100%.
You know what you need to be doing. Do it. I love that was your answer because I think that's something that everyone at any point in their career should hear.
Well, everybody wakes up at January 1st and says, "Oh my gosh, I'm selling zero this year." I track it.
Do you say that?
Oh, every year.
Oh, thank God. That makes me feel so much better.
and the funny thing is it's even worse the people that sell a lot because they might have had a good year the year before. So zero is a big difference between it.
Yeah.
And they say, and then you second yourself. Or maybe you don't go out with a buyer for 3 weeks. And you say, oh my gosh, and then you go show a house and you're like, oh my God, it's been a while. And you're like, the cobwebs, dust, And then all of a sudden you show, 40 days in a row.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, oh yes, that 1 week was low, but guess what? Then I worked 120 hours the next 3 weeks in spring when everybody else was enjoying the sun. I was out there hoofing it. But to some degree, it's funny. I had a mentor of mine said, you have confidence in your business when you have downtime and you actually enjoy it and you don't worry about it.
Run that back.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean,
seriously. Yeah.
Because you typically, when I remember in the middle of the downturn from 2008, all of a sudden I felt the, you know, pull back in the market.
Sure.
And, you know, I started going after deals that were like 1% chance, probably 0.5% chance. And I spun my wheels a lot. Some was probably good, and some of them I pulled off. Maybe I probably made it a 3% chance, you know. But to some degree, I went after low likelihood things out of fear, and didn't just have confidence in my business. Now, that was a unique time in history. Hopefully, we don't ever return to there. But in general, it was exactly. Knock on wood. But it was scary, and I had a young family at the time, and I was the primary breadwinner, so it was scary. On the flip side of it, in any market, always remember in the back of your mind that, change creates opportunity. And a lot of times, so during that period of time in the downturn, I made some of the best investments I've ever made in my entire life. So ironically, here I am fearing, here I am going after crazy deals, but I also, everything I bought from 2008 to 2012, I look pretty smart on now.
Mm. Well, I love that your answers all surrounding the question that you originally didn't answer the way I wanted you to, teach me something hearing that from you, because I think a lot of us look at other people, like you said, and it's not even just, oh, they're more successful than I am, but we just look at them like, well, I should be more productive. If I have a down week, I shouldn't be enjoying it. I mean, because we work for ourselves by ourselves, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, mm-hmm. most of us, the ones that are really doing this. And it's hard for us to sit back and say, like, it's okay to have a week where I'm, like, going to go take my kids to the botanical gardens. I'm going to go, read a book this week and try to finish it, because who knows what the next week will bring. And so that's really interesting to me to hear that from you. And, we can never predict what's going
to
come.
Well, I mean, on that, to your point, and I think you said it well, which is, what's the end? What's the... I can never do enough. I can, you can, and you always have that little voice in the back of your head saying, mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough, all the things. I think first of all is making sure that you are good, right? Mm-hmm. I exercise, not often enough, but a couple times a week for sure. The old Zig Ziglar quote, which is, how do you afford to exercise? And he said, I can't afford not to exercise because there's so many endorphins. There's so many things that, I think first and foremost, before you fulfill everybody else's cup, you need to make sure your cup is full. Because especially in this business, in sales, you're absorbing all these other people, and if you don't have a good foundation, then you can't absorb it. The weight gets too big. If you're helping an estate and they're going through emotional issues and you don't have that foundation built, you're going to not give them the best advice because your foundation isn't built right. Or somebody's going through marital issues, or somebody's going through a new baby or getting married or a divorce or whatever it is of the situations we deal with. We absorb all those things. So first and foremost, you got to make sure that your foundation's set to absorb that.
That's a great point, too. I was on a call. I'm part of the National Association of Realtors Leadership Academy, and I say that because that's why the context of even hearing from this person. But we had a call with a previous past president, Vince Malta, who was the president the year that COVID happened.
Wow.
Can you imagine? The president of the National Association of Realtors, boom, COVID. Didn't see that one coming. Anyway, he was talking about how important it was that year. He realized very quickly how important it was that he stayed healthy, mm-hmm. that not just like not avoiding COVID, but that he was doing his routine, that he was getting outside. He rides. He's a cyclist. He was riding his bike. And he was like, I realized how important it was that I was healthy so that I could be healthy for other people, so that I could be mentally sound for other people, so that I could be fulfilled. My cup, could pour into other people. And to hear that from leaders like him, like you, other leaders that I've, look to over and over again, there's got to be something there, right? The other thing that I hear you saying that I think is really interesting, and you didn't exactly say it like this, but the layers of your business, the layers of your life, the layers of your career, nothing just happens overnight.
No.
And when we talk about agents putting pressure on their backs and pressure on themselves and looking around the room and like comparing themselves, I think it's important to also reiterate that like every year is a layer.
Mm, well said.
Every experience that you had was another layer. Every investment opportunity you went through, underwrote, move forward on or didn't move forward on was a layer. And to come into the game, the real estate game, on day one or year one or year two, and to look around and say, like, I'm not like the other people, you're right. You're not. There's going to be layers, and part of your career is going to be formed by those layers. And I think when I hear you talking, I hear the layers of, you know, preparing to leave the corporate job was a year and a layer of your, yep. your industry and your experience and your career. Being, you know, a sales agent without owning a brokerage was a layer. Opening your brokerage and having a brokerage and guiding and leading other agents was a layer. And all these layers are stacking up to make you. And that's another reason why you're not done, because every year is going to continue to be additional layers on that experience. So I try to remember that too sometimes when I look around, that everybody's layers are different. And, you know, somebody's first year, their first experience might be different than another person's, and that, you know, sometimes the layers come at different times.
Well, and I think, you know, I always joke that, you know, most people I know are, you know, 5 or 10 year overnight successes, and they look like they're successes overnight to most people, but it took 5 to 10 years to get there. It kind of goes back to the Outliers book by Malcolm Gladwell. But in general, that's well put about the layers. And I do think in there, not every year is going to be your best year in that layer.
No.
And that some years you're going to be, what is my one of my best friends who's a surgeon says, you know, I'm a great, he said, I'm a great spouse, I'm a great father, and I'm a great surgeon, but I'm never all three on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some 1 year might be a dedication to, you know, your mom dying, and 1 year might be a dedication to your, you know, my son has dyslexia, and, you know, we had to take him back and forth to a private school. You know, there's every year is a different year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember being, when my kids were young, being a soccer coach for, you know, and I really enjoyed that. Now I got some business from that. But also I didn't do it for that reason, but I really enjoyed it. So it's, but to some degree, if you think that every year is going to be better, than the previous year in every situation, you are going to be disappointed.
Yeah. And every layer is building on each other. I think, you know, when I could almost go back and answer my own question and say that once you have a few layers,
mm-hmm.
whether they're great layers or not, you do feel a little bit more secure in your ability to do your job, because now there's a little bit more of that foundation you're talking about here too that equips you to be prepared for different things. And
well, and I cut you
to
off.
To have confidence.
Well, and I think in that layer, you know, the version of that layer, because I think, you know, you start off when you're in real estate and you look at a deal. And then you look at your month, and then you look at your, you eventually get to a point where you start looking at kind of quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, to your point, you're obviously 14 years in, you're looking at your layer almost as a year. And then, you know, I think you're, as you get older and you get more successful or more, I don't want to use the word wisdom, but that's the constant thing, is you start looking at, you know, trends over, you know, 2 to 5 years, and mm-hmm. it becomes less about this particular deal or less particular about this quarter. And the wider your lens gets on that layer, the more perspective you have in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe that's the definition of success, is when your lens is so wide that you can look at, you know, trends from time to time in that regard, and not overreact to any one thing.
Right. Right. And almost just to have that peace with yourself of like, I know what I'm doing. I'm here. I'm working the business plan.
Yep.
I'm confident in my ability. This is not a me problem. This is just what's happening at this moment in time.
Oh,
when you have those windows.
In that confidence of your business plan, where you have that client who is just angry.
Mm-hmm.
You have a client who is just angry. And the reality of it is, you know, they're stressed and their parents are giving them stress, or they have stress in job, or they're stressed in marriage, or it's stressed, you know, their dog just died, you name it, and you are absorbing that. When you have confidence in your business plan, then you can absorb that. When you don't have confidence in your business plan, you take that on.
Yeah. Great point.
And it's hard. And then you say, and then you usually internalize it and you say, gosh, am I good enough? Or I'm not having success, or hey, you know, maybe this isn't the career for me, or all that stuff. And if you didn't sleep well, or you drank too much the night before, or you didn't exercise that day, or you're dealing with your own stuff and you know, your kid's angry with you, and you know, it's hard to absorb all that.
Sure.
But to your point, we have to be on our best game in order to be the best for our clients. Period. Pause.
And stay the course, like 100%. Like you said.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, man. Nuggets everywhere. You know, we came in here today, and truth be told, there's a gazillion things that I could talk to you about. I mean, you're a wealth of knowledge. Just spending that initial day with you, where you did let me ride around town with you and shared with me a little bit about your journey and your real estate and your life. I mean, gosh, we could have you back to talk just investments. We could have you back to talk just brokerage. We could have you talk just selling. I mean, you're the guy that if someone sees you in the room and they're lucky to have a 10-minute conversation, they better have it.
Oh, well, thank you.
We love having you at Atlanta Realtors. And I want to know before we kind of sign off on this, because we probably could keep going forever. Is there anything specific or special or something that you want to point out or bring up or share or leave here on this podcast before we get off of here?
Well, I do. Well, first and foremost, if you take away from what I've said today is, obviously stay with your business plan, stay positive, keep working hard is just to all the agents out there, because like I said, the 5-year overnight success story, your friends won't understand how hard you work and how difficult this business is. And articulate it how hard it is to your to your friends. I mean, we do a great job wrapping it up in the bow and making it look so easy, and they don't realize that. The second thing is probably regard of just kind of my normal public service announcement of sorts right now is to encourage people to buy. If you look at real estate of the last 10, 20 years, it's outpaced inflation by so much. And, it is a great wealth generator, and we need that wealth generation. I look at my friends that, have bought homes versus the ones that haven't over the last 25 years of their life, and the people that have, and the earlier you do it, the more just generating wealth in general.
Absolutely.
And so I would say we as realtors need to do a better job educating people. When I started 25 years ago, the average first-time home buyer was 27. Right now, the average first-time home buyer is 34. That 7 years of wealth generation and wealth, just generating that kind of, whether you're paying down your mortgage or you're having increases in value or you're getting the tax benefit of it, all those things, or you owned an investment property, that wealth generation of 7 years is a differentiator in the course of your life. Mm-hmm. And if you think about that, if the average person lives almost 80 years, that's 10% of their life that they're not generating wealth in real estate.
That's huge.
And there's nobody who's extremely wealthy that didn't generate some portion of their wealth in real estate.
So encouraging people to buy younger and buy now.
Yes, I will. I will say this to every kid, every parent. Encourage the younger you start building good habits in real estate purchasing, the better you're going to be.
I 1,000% stand behind that. And if Wesley Knapp just gave us a PSA, everybody better be listening.
You're awesome. Thank you.
Well, if anyone hears this episode and they connect with you on something that we discussed or talked about and they would like to reach out to you, it's okay if we put your information in the bottom
Absolutely.
Of the podcast.
Please do.
And we hope to continue seeing you around Atlanta Realtors. I know I probably will see you in a few weeks at the Top Producer Gala.
Absolutely.
And we thank you for your time and expertise.
Thank you for tuning in to the Atlanta Realtors Rundown. Please subscribe, and for more information on how to get engaged, check us out at atlantarealtors.com. We look forward to having you join us for the next episode.